All right, guys. So we're all here for Happy's show, right?
What show? Oh, the magic show. That's tonight.
He's been working all day on.
Oh my! I feel so bad. I was right about to make supper for myself.
You're gonna make some food and not make any for the rest of us?
Oh man.
Well, we all have different schedules. And Theo and I are sitting here. We'd want some food. I guess I can make you guys something. What do you want to eat? We gotta watch the show first.
It's too late. So just sit there and feel guilty.
No. He's still got time to take an order though.
You know what? Give him an order now. You make it after the show.
I could go for some meat right now, like red meat.
Well, the closest thing I have...
Steak?
I have some frozen blueberries for Elliot to make his blueberry sandwiches.
I'll have some of those.
That's not meat.
It's fruit meat, okay? No. Everything's meat when you think about it.
Yeah, if you think about it that way, sure, but that doesn't make it a fact.
Yeah, it's meat. It's fruit meat. I think I have green olives.
It's a paste.
Yeah, I have green olives right here. Ooh. Want some green olives on there, too?
Yeah, mix in the olives and the blueberries.
This actually starting to sound pretty good.
Oh, I do have some baby newts, pickled
God,
newts.
God, no, I don't want that.
They're dead, man.
That doesn't mean I want them.
Oh, I'm making you a sandwich too?
I said I was going to have some.
Hang on, let me get more bread.
Okay.
All right, it's all right.
I didn't get to make my sandwich.
Okay, well then I will go make you a sandwich real quick.
Okay, what?
Yeah, Poppy told me how to make one. He gave me ingredients.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go there real quick. Thanks, Poppy.
Well, you can't eat it because it's a part of the show, okay? Just look at it if you want.
It does say on here that when I give you the plate of the sandwich, I'm supposed to hit you every time you try to take a bite out of it before Poppy would need you to.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Because I... Ow!
You have bony arms.
Yeah, man. There's bones in there.
Ow. Anyway.
I'm not made out of pillows.
I'm going to go get the plate with the sandwich.
Okay.
What kind of show is this again?
It's a magic show! So shut up!
Here's your sandwich, Poppy. I'm going to get real close here, real close here. Just look you right in the face here. Fix your tie, fix your top hat, fix your cape. Poppy,
you look adorable.
Knock him dead.
Can we please? Can we move along? Come on.
Yes, please.
I have things to do.
So, Alex, give Peter the sandwich.
Here you go, Peter.
Okay, I can't look at it?
No. You can look at it, and you can actually think about eating it. You just can't take a bite.
Oh, man, this looks really good.
No!
Guys, come on. Let's get this thing over with.
I got stuff to do. Okay, Theo, I need you to hold this saw.
Wait, what? A saw?
Is that a real saw?
Yes, it is.
Wait, let me touch it and make sure. Ow! Yeah, that's real, man. Ow.
Hey, you want to try that again?
Oh, I'm so hungry. Blood tastes good.
Damn, dude.
That's strange.
Yeah, just don't.
It's been like 36 hours.
Don't eat the sandwich.
Yeah, I hyper-focused again.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Interesting.
Okay. I kind of want to go for the sandwich.
God,
right in the
noggin. Is a hint.
Oh, that was the straight dome.
Yep.
Hands to dome action.
I mean, you have a lot of hair, but I really aim pretty good. Okay, Poppy.
Okay.
I think we've got Peter distracted. We've all got our food. He's got a sandwich. He's all prepared. He's not going to take a bite. What is our first magic trick?
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. Shut up, Poppy. I'm going to introduce you.
What?
Here we go.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you now and for future viewings of times that I say I introduce him in, Poppy the Budgeter!
Okay, we're workshopping now. That wasn't the best. I think we practiced something different.
Okay, take it away, Bobby.
Okay, good. So the first act, Theo, please come to the stage.
Okay.
Oh, don't forget your saw.
Yeah, I have the saw in my hand.
That's a real saw? Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Oh, it's real.
Okay.
Okay, and the first act is going to be sawing Mappo in half.
Hello.
What do you call this contraption that is flat and has four legs underneath it?
It's a table.
Oh, man, that's so interesting. Mappo gets on the table then.
I feel like he's supposed to be in a box. Like, that's the trick, right?
Okay, who's the magician?
You are?
Exactly.
Right on.
You're the magician, but I'm sawing him.
It's called delegation, guys.
It's micro...
Manager. Okay.
Theo, I want you to saw him.
I love it.
I am now sawing Mappo.
Wow. Okay. This feels a little real.
This is kind of. I don't know if we should be doing this. Mappo, are you hurt? Are you feeling okay?
I can't really tell. You know, I'm just so filled with adrenaline.
I'm like halfway through him now, so.
Keep going.
Okay.
Hey, is that a spill over there? I'll clean that up later.
I feel a little weird about this.
Ow!
Stop, guys.
Oh, no, I'm fine. Stop!
Must go on! Just finish it! Finish the job!
Hey. There. He is in two pieces.
Yeah, that's right. Now, how are you going to put me back together?
Okay, and for my next trip...
What?
What?
Peter?
No!
I need you!
Wait! I don't want to be this tall!
I'm sorry, I caved.
Did you eat the sandwich?
I caved.
I was watching this really cool trip. You ate the sandwich?
I took my... Ow! I took the opportunity. Which is really juicy, like a juicy sandwich.
Well, I put some juicy stuff in there.
Mm.
Juicy fruit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
So Theo's done that.
Yep.
That was amazing! That was so cool! You totally sawed him in half!
He's in half!
It did. I did do that.
He's indeed in half. Okay, my next trick is going to be for Peter.
Oh, me? Is that okay for me?
Yeah, I gave up on trying to stop you with that sandwich.
No, that's a good thing. Okay, so Alex, I want you to hold these deck of cards.
All right, here we go.
Peter, I want you to pick a card, okay? Any card.
Do I show him the cards or just...
Well, I look at it, right?
Okay, yeah.
I've seen this trick before.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I got it. Do I put it back in the...
Put it back in my hands?
God, it's like jerky in here or something. It's really tough. Can't really chew it.
Okay, put the card back in the deck.
All right, here you go.
Okay.
Do I shuffle this or?
Yeah, shuffle it. Wait. I've seen Theo shuffling really good.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Wait, what?
Wow, this is crazy. Look at him go, man.
Jeez. God, those are flying around.
Whoa.
Oh, Jesus.
Help.
Not too shabby.
How do you get above your head?
Look at that.
That's crazy.
Whoa, man.
What is in this sandwich? I can't get it down. I'm just going to swallow it.
Just keep showing it, man.
I'm just going to swallow it.
Wait. That sounded heavy.
Yeah. It was a large bite.
I thought it was juicy. I put juicy stuff in there.
It was juicy, but then there was like, it's really tough.
Oh, you mean the playing card? Yeah, Poppy had me put a playing card in there. That's probably what's doing.
Okay. And now, Peter, I want you to... How do I say this? Alex, can you just punch Peter in the back?
Ew.
Okay.
Was that your card?
Hey!
Yeah, that was my card.
Oh my god! That's amazing, Poppy! This is literally, like, the best magic show I've ever been to, Poppy. What is the next trick? I gotta know.
It's for you, Alex, and I left it as a surprise.
Hell yeah! I'm gonna go!
No, come back!
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry. I was about to run away and tell everyone I was about to do the next trick.
Theo, can you go grab that hat?
What are you going to do with these cards?
Just put them down, idiot!
What did I shuffle them for?
Just put them down.
To show us how good of a shuffler you are. The shuffle magic.
Just grab the stinking hat!
Ooh, shuffle. Here's the hat.
Alex, I want you to pour the rabbit out of the hat. But first, look in there. There's nothing in there, right?
All right, I'm looking in there. I just see nothing. Nothing. Yeah, there's nothing in here. You want me to pull a rabbit out of here?
Yeah, now close your eyes.
Okay, closing my eyes.
Get in the hat. Go on, get in there.
Who are you talking to?
No one, shut up! Okay, now open your eyes, but don't look in the hat.
Alright, I'm gonna open them. 1, 2, 3, here we go.
And now put your hand in the hat.
I need to open my eyes to put my hand in the hat? Okay, here we go. Alright.
What is this?
Alright. Oh, I there's bunny ears.
What? Out of the stupid
coarse,
hat!
Some coarse hair for a bunny.
Ow!
It's biting me!
Oh my god!
Oh no, not Louis the Rat.
Oh.
It's Louis the Rat! I've been here to play the bunny rabbit. Okay, you can go now.
Am I done?
Yes, you're done!
Ladies and gentlemen, please check out my new artistic design website. It is called Louis the Rat Makes the Mat. I make mats for people in their homes.
You're freaking me out.
Right. Louis the Rat out.
Oh, he always looks so oily.
Okay, Louis the Rat out.
Okay.
Oh, God, he bit me so freaking hard. Yeah, I hate Louis the Rat.
Yeah. Hey, you kind of blacked out, man.
Oh, with rage. With rage.
Okay, as a final act, you all have to do something for me.
What's up? Anything. Just anything.
I'm good.
I need you all to just look away for 1 second. This is called the disappearing act.
We just turn around.
Yeah, we just turn around, I guess.
Okay, all right. Okay. Theo, turn around.
Okay.
Theo.
Keep those eyes closed.
You literally got 1 foot still.
Keep them closed. Go on. Turn all the way around.
Just completely turn around. Completely turn around, Theo. Come on.
Oh, God. Who cares?
Okay, thank you. God, Jesus, took forever. All right, okay.
That was a lot of cobwebs up there.
Oh, there is.
We've really got a dust or something.
That is a lot.
Wait, hang on. Wait, Poppy, when do you want us to turn around?
Poppy?
Poppy.
Poppy, when do you want us to turn around?
Poppy!
I'm going to look.
Yeah, I'm not turning around. I'm not.
Alex, turn around.
I'm not turning around.
Look. I'm turning around. I don't care.
Don't ruin it for me.
Oh, he's gone.
So, he's gone!
Wow, that's pretty cute.
That's amazing!
I wonder how he did that.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, magic is real.
Yeah, it's really real. It feels
real. Oh my
god.
Guys, I'll tell you. Guys, you know what this reminds me of?
What?
The Prestige. We just got prestiged! The Prestige, we just got that.
Yeah, this is the best magic movie.
Oh god.
You know the Prestige. It's the best movie about magic ever.
Are you sure?
You know what? You are right. The Illusionist is better. The Illusionist is way better than Prestige. But they came out the same year.
You can't just double down like that, man.
I can obviously change my mind whenever I want, okay? I have great taste when it comes to magic.
Oh, I think there's still a bit of a card in my throat.
Yeah, because I put a card in your throat. Now look,
well, I saw it.
I'm telling you, Illusionist is better than Prestige.
Let's take this to the party room.
Are you saying it's time for...
Oh my god.
A butter battle.
On.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day! I got you!
Wax off.
I will look for you.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
I will find you.
Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
And I will kill you.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Somebody peed my pants.
A sad, strange little man.
He's had a change of heart.
A lot of good that'll do him. He's still got the same face.
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Ah, a fellow checker, eh?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I'm very happy about that.
Surely you can't be serious.
What do you want? You want the moon?
You get nothing!
Nothing? Nothing? Nothing, tra-la-la?
I drink your milkshake!
Eddie, at the spot.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Wow.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
All right, I'm in.
Coming to you from the putrid party room of the historically insignificant family-owned and operated Theater Brothers Theater on the garbage-strewn outskirts of a minor American city, this is the Real Butter Buttercast. I'm Peter Theater.
I'm Theodore Theater.
And I'm Alex the Projectionist, and I'm just happy to be here.
Would it be like a big deal if we got a little broom and a something? I mean, there's just popcorn everywhere in here. It's disgusting.
I'll help! Although I feel a bit shorter than I usually do.
You look different.
And also, I'm made for wet. I'm gonna.
Yeah, I don't think you're a good sweeper. I don't think we made a sweeper. I think we just made Mopo.
My bottom half was much more rounded and taller, and now it's much more broken and splintery.
Yeah, I don't know how to fix this other than duct tape, maybe.
I'm gonna have to focus on myself before I actually help anyone else, guys.
Why don't you go lay down, man?
Yeah, it's kind of gross. It was like Cheetos and stuff stuck to his head.
Wasn't very elegant.
Not at all.
Not at all. But
I feel bad for him.
A good magician's assistant, though.
Yeah, you know, he really
stuck gave
it
him
out.
Everything.
He did give him everything.
At least half.
Well, half of him, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, at least
half.
Of his body, yeah.
I mean, the show is canceled. We're not getting the show anymore, so.
But not the Buttercast.
Buttercast is fine. We're not getting Poppy's magic show anymore.
Yeah, better than ever.
Better than ever.
Better than ever.
Yes.
God. You just can't resist, can you?
The butter? No.
Hmm? Right. So, butter battle. That's what we're doing. Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, yeah. Because The Illusionist is the best ever, and that's what you're going to watch today.
Did you just fart?
No.
Are you sure? Was that just an illusion?
Yeah.
Edward Norton?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Star of The Illusionist, the movie that I want you to watch today.
Yeah.
I don't know. I gotta feel it out. You know, I need you guys to debate about it first.
You just want the power of being the moderator.
Yeah, give me this. Give me this one thing.
Okay. All right. You can have one thing. Yeah, that's
one
fine.
Thing. Just one
that's
thing.
That's it. That's happy that's birthday.
It's my birthday?
It's his birthday?
No. I don't know.
When is my birthday?
It doesn't matter. This is what you get.
Yeah, I know. So let me have it.
All right.
Okay.
So you want to know which one of these two films that came out in 2006 about a stage magician or magicians set in the 19th century was better or?
Butter.
Illusionist, my film, or the Prestige, yeah. Theo's film?
Yeah, which that's one? Right. Which
well,
one?
It's an easy win. It's the Prestige.
It's the Illusionist.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
No,
we got to come back, everyone. It's the Illusionist.
Everybody come back.
Now you can
come back to your phones and screens and whatever you're listening on to this to. Just sit back down.
Record player. That's right.
All right.
For those of you who've ordered our limited edition Real Butter records.
You know, like,
What about them?
Really love one. I was the first one on the list for that, by the way.
You can't have your cake and eat it too, dude.
That's funny. We actually made it out of like with cake.
Ah.
It doesn't play very well. The needle just digs right into the chocolate and everything, but
yeah, it's not a good butter cake.
I kept wondering why you kept giving me cakes made to look like records. It really made playing.
It's them. Not just cake. It's butter cake.
I kept playing them and they didn't work.
I don't know how to make a record.
You made a record cake, though.
Butter cake.
They're getting closer every time, okay?
They're getting better every time.
Butter.
Well, batter.
Butter? Butter batter? Batter.
You're making me
bitter. With butter.
Yeah, I put butter in the batter.
Yeah, so it's a butter cake.
At the behest of what? Stopping right now.
I'm the moderator, and I also agree.
Okay.
So what's your question, Peter? I mean, you're the moderator.
What is the butter movie? I mean, what other stupid little magician movies came out?
All right, well, fine.
Seems better. Thanks.
No. I don't want him to paint this.
Sit back down. Come back. Theo, come back and sit down. Come on. Sit down, Theo.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
Just brush over here.
Just what?
He hasn't been here in a while. I want to give him physical compliments when I can. I welcome his presence.
Yeah, but that was like...
Especially when he smells like just cabbage all the time.
Yeah, you got to get that fixed.
I eat my greens like Popeye.
Yeah, but something is reacting inside of you that's secreting this gas.
Yeah, I know. I sweat a lot.
And it's exactly why The Illusionist should be the movie we watch today. Right, moderator? Right, juror?
I don't know.
Am I the juror?
Okay, let's backtrack.
Yay!
Let's backtrack. Theo, I want you to go first and talk about your little magician movie.
Bobo's the juror!
But you only get 30 seconds.
Oh, wow. Power hungry guy over here.
Yeah, I am. This is my time.
He's loving this, man. There's like a vein popping out of his head right now. This is crazy.
Yeah.
His eyes are frantic.
Yeah.
You can see it. You're sitting here right with us.
All right. Are you ready, Theo? Because you should be in 3, 2, 1, go.
The Prestige is a brilliant film that came out in 2006, directed, of course, by the legendary Christopher Nolan. It's about two dueling magicians in 19th century London, played by Hugh Jackman as the great Danton Angier and Christian Bale as Alfred the Professor Borden and other characters, and Michael Caine, who plays their sort of mentor figure. And the whole film is told sort of out of order, as you see they're developing a few.
Done, you're done, son. You're done talking now, son.
Well, you didn't really get to
the meat.
Yeah.
Mm. You had the bread and the cheese, probably. You got some mayo in there, though.
You got to like the top of the sandwich, like the two.
I thought I was ready. Honestly, I thought I was ready. And then it just sort of like, I started slow.
Now you know what it's like.
Wow, you are just, he is sweating.
He deserves this.
So excited right now. I think you also may be sick.
No, I'm not, man. It's just the card that was stuck in my throat.
It was really in there.
Yeah, I had the large ace of spades.
The ace of spades.
The ace of spades.
Yeah, anyway, I'm just going to keep doing that.
Can we not mention the thing that hurt me?
Yes, but why are you sweating?
That was a little too real, Peter. All right, we're talking about boobies here. Okay.
It hurt
anyway,
me.
Anyway. Okay, so you're done talking, Theo, and it's my turn. What's my time limit here? I get double.
30 seconds and 3, 2, 1, starting now.
All right, The Illusionist. The Illusionist is about Eisenheim the magician. He is really, really good at what he does. He's so good that he gets the prince to come see his show in Vienna. Prince has his little girl toy there, and he brings her out on the stage to do a trick to prove that all of this is just magic and it's just tricks and illusions. But it turns out the magician and the little woman used to be best friends and romantic interests, and it turns out that they are going to concoct a plan to bring down the prince and fall in love and escape Vienna forever.
All right, nice. That was on the dot too.
Woo!
Theo, you might need a little bit more practice. Can you not do the lizard tongue thing?
Oh, sorry. This is what I do when I like think I'm about to win a battle of wits.
You stick your tongue out like a lizard?
Yep. It's weird.
Yeah.
odd.
Sorry.
Well,
it's okay. Thanks. It's fine.
The Prestige is superior in almost every way.
In what ways?
Well, you have an amazing array of great actors, all just rocking it out, playing multiple characters. And I'm trying to do this with no spoilers as possible, but because the great thing about it is that it really rewards a second viewing. And I think that's what's really fun. It's like, okay, Christopher Nolan designed this film so that you could watch it a second time and get more out of it. And right, you realize on your second viewing that every line of dialogue has another meaning than you thought when you first watched it. And that every motivation and every interaction has a second meaning that you can only understand once you've reached the end and started again. Which obviously he does with a lot of his films, most recently with Tenet. More so on the non-Batman movies, but still.
Come on, man.
I believe you're fumbling.
I believe Dunkirk was before Tenet.
Yeah, okay. He plays with time in that one, for sure.
I believe, yeah, there's several different
locations.
Inception, of course.
Inception.
Memento.
Memento.
Following does. I think the only one that doesn't, mess with time because of the situation that he's in is Insomnia. But that's not really necessarily his film. That is a remake.
Sure. In this movie, you reach the end, you get the twist, and the first time you've seen it, I've seen it a couple of times now, so I know what's coming. But, you know, that second, yeah, but the first time you watch it, you reach the end, you're like, oh, my God.
That's a good point. So it's not just good the first time. It's even better the second time.
Whoa. A movie doesn't need to be better on rewatchability for it to be better in general.
Now, it's interesting because I've seen interviews with Christopher Nolan, and that specifically he, from the beginning of his career, designed his movies with that in mind. That was something that could set him apart in having the nonlinear storytelling and making movies that would reward multiple viewings. And I think The Illusionist has a twist at the end, and you just kind of go, oh, yeah, okay.
I mean,
I kind of saw that coming, fine.
It does have a twist. I would say it has two twists. Actually, something happens in the middle that you don't expect to happen, and there's a new mystery that takes hold, and then there is sort of a conclusion to both the mysteries at the end of the film that sort of come together in a way that I think is pretty admirable on its own without comparing it to The Prestige, which is
just funny because I was halfway through The Illusionist, I was watching it in the living room, Shoshana. My lady friend, she's in another room.
We know who Shoshana is.
Yeah, she just like pops in for 1 second. She's like, oh, that's that. She figured it out like right away, like in the middle of it.
That's that, you know, that?
Yeah, well, wow, I don't want to give, again, that. I don't want to spoil it, but she's like, she knew what was going on. Halfway through the movie, she knew exactly how, and she was right.
You sure she didn't just walk in the room and say, that's that, and point at random stuff in the room, and you just decided to use bought that. It to solidify? Yeah, you're blinded by love.
She does that as well.
But okay. You're blinding, not this time.
In this instance, she had the whole thing figured out. I saw it coming mile away.
I will say that just because you know what the twist may be in The Illusionist, that's not the point. The point of The Illusionist isn't Eisenheim the coolest guy ever?
No.
Edward Norton with his goatee and his forehead are he's got the romantic drama to really kind of push the kind of like dramatic weight of like a Wuthering Heights type Jessica Biel in that one like early part of the Illusionist.
Alex, you're fumbling, man.
I don't feel like we should move on before addressing something you mentioned, which is his grotesque goatee.
Okay.
Which it's because it had just grown uniformly across the bottom of his face, it looked as though his lips and mouth were just sort of floating in the middle of it, you know, like a pair of plastic lips you would buy at a joke store or.
Yeah, it was like a circle of facial hair.
Am I going to sit here and
argue around the lips?
Am I going to sit here and say that that beard is real? No, I'm not going to say that.
I think it was real, and I don't think he should grow it.
I think if you I got to say, man, I looked at that thing. It looked pretty. It looked like there was a lot of skin underneath that thing. It looked pretty thin. I got to be honest. I think it's a makeup deal. And I think they wanted to do it. And You know what? I just think it adds to the presentation.
Good save.
Of him, you know, because the best moments in The Illusionist by far is when his hand is just out and pointing at
Where's the substance for that?
He's grieving.
But you said the best part of the movie is that he's standing there.
I'm saying of him's performance.
Okay, so just
that's the main character, Alex. Yes. He does other things like talk and be romantic and be vengeful and make arguments and have discussions with people and have back and forth patter. But like the best thing he does is shut up and put his hand out.
That's not good.
Damn it. Okay, I'm trying here.
That's not a good thing.
Well, just to give
Theo's getting the point.
If listeners don't have a background there, in the second half of the film, the
story's better.
Wait, we're arguing story points? I'm arguing about a character right now.
No, I was just you know, so that the audience understands if maybe they haven't seen the film. In the second half, he kind of changes his act to be basically he summons the dead onto the stage to people who've been murdered, and so they sort of appear.
Yeah. They never.
Not CGI. No,
magic. Wait a second. Yeah. This is a thing that they would do back in that time. It's a real thing people that would
they
do.
Would they would use CGI.
Wait. They would summon ghosts.
No. They would use mirrors and they would use tricks and illusions to make people believe that there were ghosts in the room that they could that were transparent and that could be see-through. This was something they would do at the time. All the tricks in The Illusionist are things that they can do.
CGI.
For real. No. In fact, CGI, sure, but
on his face.
But everything in the story. It's real, not the beard.
How am I supposed
theoretically?
Okay, so
but the story is love and about when you lose that love, how that love can be used to fuel revenge to make sure that a prince doesn't take over a country.
What?
Because he has different political beliefs than his father, who he's going to mutiny against. I'm losing the thread.
Where is this going?
Okay. The prince is great though. He's actor? A total psycho.
Rufus Sewell, his last scene in the movie is one of the best ending performances for a villain because he goes through every emotion ever of anger to control to you need to help me right now. It's really good. And I think he is chewing the most scenery and having the most fun in the film for sure.
So that's a redeemable character.
It is a redeemable performance.
Oh,
not a redeemable character. He's the villain of the
film. But he can be a fun character to watch.
He is very fun to watch, actually.
He is. No, okay. I will give you that. Rufus Sewell had that dead-eyed psycho thing. Just
his eyes. Yeah, he had really great eye work. Really great,
he's really, really pretty eyes. Is that what you mean?
He just commanded the scene with his eyes a lot. Whereas Edward Norton, of course, learning all of that stage work to be a magician, learning all of those tricks, knew how to do them. When he's up on that stage, he is not as commanding as Rufus Sewell, I'm starting to realize.
Okay, you're not helping your case.
I mean, but let's look at The Prestige, all right?
Okay.
But The Illusionist is obviously a film made by, if you listen to the DVD commentary, the director makes it very clear that he read the short story The Illusionist is based off of, thought the whole world and magic at the time and the way that they would blur reality for people was helping them, you know, think for themselves at a time when a society was being controlled and dominated by a hierarchy. And this film is about that kind of, but it's also about romance. He added the romance and the female character and the childhood love Edward Norton added the twist at the end and the manipulative Ocean's 11 type stuff. And the director really, really wanted to prove that you could make a plant come out of a pot by commanding it. And it was an illusion at the time, but he doesn't explain that in the film.
Okay.
And he also doesn't really tell that to the audience unless they look it up themselves.
Okay, you're spiraling again.
God dang it. All right. Okay. But The Prestige is about, it's very, very, okay, look, I'm just going to talk about The Prestige for a second, all right? The Prestige, let's get down and heavy on this thing, all right? The Prestige,
First
of all, it is very clearly about revenge and obsession, and then also about the inner conflict about creative trying to decide whether their product is for themselves, the community of artists, or the audience. And that dilemma itself is not necessarily a bad thing, and there is no winner or loser, but you can sell your soul if you lose the art form and its purity. In other words, why are we moving to digital film when film itself is so great? Like all of his films are about film. It's an incredible thing that he does in all of his films. And you know what? Here it's just blah. I'm really not doing this well today.
You're not really.
Okay. So wait. We could talk about, you were talking about magic, and The Illusionist definitely does have some illusions that were based on some acts from the time. For instance, in the opening scene, he makes a mechanical orange tree grow out of a pot, mm-hmm. and then it sprouts oranges. So it's great. So that is based. I was very excited to learn this was based on a real thing.
Everything is. Every trick in the film.
It's based on it.
Every trick in the film is based off one.
There's a difference, though.
That's what I said. Based off of one. I'm saying what you're saying.
This was based on an illusion from the 1840s by a gentleman called Jean-Eugène Robert Houdon.
Houdon, not Houdini, yeah, Houdon.
Exactly. Houdini was a huge fan of this guy, and actually that's how he came up with his stage name, Houdini.
Again, this movie is for magic nerds. If you do the research, if you don't, it's about two people who used to be childhood lovers.
Yeah, gross.
It works, kind of. Not really.
You're not really persuading me.
Well, you failed to mention that when Edward Norton was a child, of course, he was Aaron Taylor Johnson.
And that's bad. Yeah, he was Aaron Taylor Johnson when he's a kid. Really? His first early roles. And then he grows up to be Ed Norton, which poor Jessica Biel had to get Bobo Aaron Taylor Johnson through Ed Norton. Poor Jessica Biel, who is good and trying, but not really meant for period pieces. Man, I'm not...
You're not really
okay, wait, this well,
well. You know, maybe let Theo talk for a little bit.
Maybe cool the off, man. Is not as good as The Prestige.
No, stop it.
That's all.
Come on, we're arguing here.
Whose side are you on? It is a butter battle. This is my butter battle that I'm moderating, and you need to do your part.
Okay, fine. I'll think. Well, maybe we take a break for a second, and I'll think of some things about The Illusionist I like.
You need to prepare, man. You need to prepare. I don't know what's going on with you.
How
today.
Is I going to be prepared for a butter battle? These are usually out of the blue things. That
Theo seems to be way more confident.
Well, that's because Theo is great and awesome and cool, and I'm glad that he's here.
You still look pretty good. Did you?
But
like,
again, I can't
put something on your face.
I cannot reiterate this enough. He smells like just straight up cabbage.
It's really oddly cabbage.
But see, that's why I look so good. I have to eat a lot of cabbage, and it sweats out.
At what cost?
Oh, you look so good.
Real
butter.
The interesting thing about The Prestigious to me is that it is not really interested in being a period movie. And every single character is very, very much entangled in the drama of the character. You could take their entire conversation and you could put that in any time period and it doesn't matter. Sure, it looks muddy and grimy, but we're not really making this look beautiful. We're like, it's hard to live this life. It's hard to live this life. So that way, when we do something magical, you feel like you've escaped your cruddy looking life.
It is the period, and it has the ambient light, so you just feel like you're there. Everything's just lamps or daylight or whatever, and people live in kind of dingy little apartments, and they're wearing the clothes, but they're not showcasing it. They're not highlighting that they're in the past, which is exactly what The Illusionist does, which drove me nuts. Like, everything's sepia-toned. Everything's got the vignette. Everything's, you know, tinted and desaturated. I saw Adobe Photoshop tutorial in how to make your photos look like vintage photos. And it was step by step, add a vignette, desaturate, add sepia tone. It was all of the things that this
did in the post-production
of the movie. And they're just being so clever, and it completely distances the audience. Because you just feel like you're looking at an old photograph. You don't feel like you're with those people.
Right.
Whereas Prestige feels like you're just in there with them, living it.
We make this argument a lot, you and I, like that you are always looking for less showiness, and I can get impressed by CGI work or the style of a director. I argue, because here's the thing, I watched The Illusionist, my movie, and I was like, this looks really good. What if I turned it black and white? What if I made it a 4:3 frame? And I did that, and I watched it again like that, and it looked amazing. And
you adjusted the movie.
Peter, he's not even telling you the full extent of what he did, because Alex actually, he made like the cards with the dialogue on them, so he can watch it as a silent film. He then got a piano and played a score live while he was playing it on a projector. He did the whole thing, and it was a lot better. I'll give you that.
With the flickering,
why?
Huh? Because it was an experience, Peter. Welcome back to the theaters. The movies are back, baby. Come on.
That's right. And Alex is a projectionist. He knows.
I am a projectionist.
How much time out of your day to do that?
A lot, but I got to be honest. I would do it again for the movies.
Peter, we don't pay him, so.
That's true.
What the? I get to live upstairs, though, right?
Yeah,
that's fine.
Score.
I understand the illusionist was trying to go for kind of, I guess it would be like magical realism would be the term in literature.
Interesting.
Gabriel Garcia Marquez, like his work, where fantastical elements and realistic elements are mixed together, but they're all played straight.
A lot of Latin artists in general. It's big. Yeah, Latin.
It's wonderful when it's done in that kind of deadpan way. Like Marquez has a great story called A Very Old Man with Enormous Wings. And it's basically about an angel who lands in a little village and the people are like, oh, okay. And they stick him in a cage and they're going to stare at him. It's just deadpan, right?
You know what that reminds me of?
No.
Birdman.
Yeah. The fantastical stuff's just in the mix.
Wow. No, that actually...
Yeah.
Wow. That really shocks, especially when it comes to the ending of Birdman and the way that director would talk about the magical realism involved. I had no idea about that. Wow. Thank you very much. Anyway, The Illusionist has great cinematography.
Okay.
The fact that they don't explain the tricks by Eisenheim is, I guess, them saying we do magical realism. But the fact that they're all based off things that can actually happen.
It didn't really.
Here's why. And here's the thing. Paul Giamatti's narration screws all of this up. I will be honest. It makes it really hard to understand anything that's real and what's not. And that may be what the director wanted to say, what's real and what's not. But no, this was in intent. You know what? I'm going to be honest. The editing is not great in The Illusionist. I'm not good at this today.
Alex.
I'm off the rocker. I'm not.
Do you want me to give you a minus point? Okay. What is this?
You got a minus point.
I'm going to give you a minus
point. I will say.
No! You had a negative one.
Can you just give the movie a minus point?
I think the thing about The Illusionist is that I can see what they were thinking they might do with the magical realism element, with the Paul Giamatti story in a story thing. Because basically for let's say, Peter or other people who maybe haven't bothered to watch the movie, the...
really? In the movie. Hey, man. Okay. All right.
Hey, whatever. It's fine.
Don't speak for me.
I'm informing you that in the film, it starts out with this character played by Paul Giamatti, who's a police detective, who's basically laying out who Eisenheim the illusionist is. And he starts his narration at the beginning of the movie. You kind of forget that he's doing that because the movie just progresses like a normal movie. Yeah, and then almost towards the end, it picks up again and he's finishing his story in the same room where he started it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then he kind of like, when he figures out what Eisenheim's up to, you see this kind of montage as the camera spins around him and he's like realizing, oh, what a clever guy.
If you're trying to see how dumb it looks, it does look kind of dumb.
I felt bad for Paul Giamatti. He looked like a dope. But here's the thing. Sure. That framing device of him telling the story could have been the way to get away with showing really magical stuff. You know, you could have used that if everything we saw in the movie was from his mind. So then we can maybe he's exaggerating or his memory's
Wait, let me say this. One of the things that I found really, and I'm not changing the subject. One of the things I found really interesting about The Prestige was the fact that the argument between those two magicians is one is I'm doing this trick for my brother. For all magicians in the world, this is the thing that we're doing. We're really good at this trick. This is for people who are good at tricks. We're doing this for the artists in our community. And then Hugh Jackman is sitting there being like, no, you have to do it for the audience, the admiration that they feel when they applaud for you. It's for them. And then I started thinking about The Illusionist, and I'm like, who is Eisenheim doing this entire magic trick for? And it's his biggest fan, Paul Giamatti's character. That I do enjoy. I do love that. But I agree, his perspective makes it hard to have the narrative work with the sly stuff it does in the third act. I do find it funny that from the perspective of Giamatti himself, the one thing that is consistent is he is his biggest fan. He will always be his biggest fan. He will always want to know how to do these tricks. I do love that. That is nice.
It's just I realized when he was summing up his story, or I guess when he's having the montage moment, there's a scene where Eisenheim is knacking on Jessica Biel. Now, the police inspector was not there. He didn't see that. And in fact, wasn't aware of their relationship till later. So he can't have even imagined that that did happen. And yet that's somehow in his memories at the end when he's figuring everything out. So we created a framing device, but they weren't disciplined about it.
Well, wait. When you say they're macking at the end, or knacking, if you will, the kiss, kiss, bang, bang quoting of knacking, which I think is one of my favorite things about kiss, kiss, bang, bang. They say knacking on him. But are you talking about when he goes to the cabin and they knack there? Are you talking about when he meets her at the carriage?
She meets him in his workshop.
Everything they say at the beginning of the movie, he tells Rufus Sewell, everything I'm about to tell you has been either corroborated by my eyes or my minions. So everything he tells him has specifically been seen by him or his workers because Eisenheim has wanted him to do it because he is the person he's doing this trick for. No one else but Giamatti, so that Giamatti can slowly convince this man to shoot himself in the face in front of a police chief, which I think is amazing.
Doesn't
really sound amazing. I mean,
all right. Well, you know, I give you points for sticking up for your movie, but I just feel like
I'm passing the points around.
I still think procedures.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna take a point away from you, Peter.
Oh,
I don't get a just, point. I'm the moderator. The
yeah, exactly. I don't know if you're being a fair moderator. So I mean, you're gonna lose a point
in his head right now.
I'm definitely giving myself 2 points.
I'm giving myself 50 points. Cuddle points.
Well, so far, for my point system, I have Theo has the better movie, obviously, and Alex lost a point from getting a point.
Son of a gun, you suck! I hate you.
Well, you had a point because your intro was better, because you had a faster and more well put up thoughts.
Shouldn't Papo be the one who decides who gets points?
Mappo, I'm the one who's writing them down. You've been taking a nap.
I haven't been taking a nap. I can't stand on my own anymore. That is standard.
It is funny to see him falling on his face, but it's also sort of tragic.
Theo, I'm sick and tired of you laughing at me, but I appreciate your sense of humor.
Mappo,
so good.
Mappo, hey. Come here, buddy.
No, I don't want to. It's too close to Theo, and he smells like cabin.
I'll come to you.
Well, thank you.
I'll pick you up. Where do you want to be?
I want to be where you are.
Okay, I'll lean you against my chair.
All right.
Okay.
I
feel like doing a devil's advocate round is kind of pointless because keeps backing up and backtracking.
Look,
I would love to.
Alex, where do I look?
At me.
Okay.
Okay. I could sit here all day and make prime reasons why The Illusionist is a good movie. Is a movie worth seeing, has merit to it. But can I sit here and convince you all that it's better than The Prestige?
Butter. No.
Look, I could sit here all day and I could tell you guys what's great about The Illusionist as a film and everything. But if I could sit here and tell you that it's a better film than Prestige. Look, if I could just.
Wait, Alex.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Alex. It's not as good as The Prestige. Damn it.
Wow. Really admitting defeat.
I'm also, admitting that this
hold on.
The fight. No. I'm sorry. You know what, Theo? I just agree with you. You know, I'm sorry. I know you wanted us to fight today and have a debate for you to be a moderator and control.
Yeah,
but I'm sorry. Theo's right. The Prestige rules.
Come on.
I don't think I said that, actually. I mean,
I can see it in your eyes.
No. I mean, in general, obviously, people always assume that The Prestige is better and that it made more money. But I did a little math earlier.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, okay. Because The Prestige made $109.7 million at the international box office, but its budget was $40 million, okay? Now, The Illusionist made only $87 million, but it had a meager budget of mere $16.5 million. So actually, The Illusionist had a higher return for investment with a net profit of $70.5 million to The Prestige's $69.7 million. To me, that's the point to The Illusionist. It's a little movie that could. It's a little scrapper. It came out of nowhere, you know? Like, sure, The Prestige. Ooh, it's got all these big stars. We got Wolverine. We got Batman. You know, Christopher Nolan, award-winning director. But you know what? Here's a little scrappy movie that could that just comes out of nowhere and says, you know what? We're going to be classy.
Okay. How dare you?
No.
here and say that the immediate success and money and blockbuster access that the Illusionist got from its powerful names immediately is somehow better than the long-term success from The Prestige. The Prestige has gotten better and more fanfare over the years, whereas no one talks about The Illusionist except us.
Well, it's just because, you know, obviously – once you've seen The Prestige once, you have to see it again. It's like Nolan just – he just makes movies where you're like, oh, geez, what did that mean? Let me watch it again. So he's got two views, you know? He makes twice as much money.
You know what? You only got to watch The Illusionist once, if that.
Fair point.
Exactly.
See? The Illusionist, one, and you're done.
Man, I don't know what you're talking about. The Prestige – but, I mean, come on, with this.
Also, I mean, The Prestige has, it continues this thing about Tesla and Edison having this, like, monumental feud and everything. Not true. I checked on this. I fact-checked that.
Well, it doesn't need to be historically accurate.
It presents it as being historically accurate. That obviously, like, the main characters weren't real people, but Tesla was a real person. It was pretty amazing. And in fact, he did, in his later years, design a death ray and tried to sell it to the government, but they said no thanks. He'd figured out ways to hurl lightning across continents, kill people, but...
What?
Guns? Yeah, he could totally do it, but they didn't want it, so...
We got a gun.
He was insane, but...
Are you?
But also a genius. No, he was... See, when he was a child, his mother just had him close his eyes and picture everything, so he had this vivid imagination. So when he designed things, he would design it 100% in his brain, where all the gears would go, and he would adjust it and fix it, and he would make the machines work in his head to test them. And if they didn't work, he would adjust it and fix it, and then he would have the design 100% perfect, and then he would just build the thing, and it would work.
Yeah, but guess what?
What?
Guess what? He did not make a machine.
He did not make a spoiler. You know, you're going to
cut
Christopher Nolan's bottle up.
We're going to bleep
it out. Cut it out.
Here's the thing, though. The movie presents it like Edison's thugs come to his place and, like, smash it up.
Well, to be honest, Edison
didn't happen.
He may not have done that to him, but he did do it to people.
Yeah.
He did kick out pretty much a bunch of people out of New York, and that's what created Hollywood in the first place. Like, we wouldn't have Hollywood if Edison didn't have his thugs.
Sounds like a Buttercast episode right there.
Ooh.
Let's get the maybe there's something in the recording box of old recordings that has to do with that.
Edison versus Hollywood.
Maybe we'll search after the break here. We need closing statements here.
We need something.
The Illusionist has real genuine emotions and feelings, and you know, I just think The Prestige is just clever, and Christopher Nolan is just like,
hey.
No, I've gotten my you know, this elaborate storyline and plotline, and then I've twisted around and I've edited it. So there's layers and layers of cleverness, and he's just like, oh, look at my brain.
It's really good.
Alex, your closing statement.
The prestigious script is so focused and so put together that the actors don't really need to do that much. They are given all that they need to produce the best performances they have. And even the cinematography is not showy. It is pretty,
it is David Bowie.
Economical. And it is intended to give you all the information needed and for all the actors to do their thing. It's the script. And if you can make a movie on the script level as completely clear, confident, and intuitive as this, then you really aren't going to have a problem doing any other aspect of the making of it. So, sorry, The Prestige is a rewatchable film with things that you can think about and chew on and discuss with people, whereas The Illusionist is like, hey, did he get his girl? Did he not? Yes, he did, because this movie isn't really trying to do anything other than give you the happy ending you're supposed to feel for this romance that does not feel real. It doesn't earn any of the emotions that it tries to get away with in a movie that is supposed to be about how cool magic is. So, no.
Okay. All right. After the break, I will tally up these points. Are you okay, Theo? Are you okay?
Yeah, trying to pretend like I like The Illusionist.
You gotta be okay, man. If you go up in an attic and you spend most of your life projecting films and thinking about them on an emotional level like I do, you will also be able to think like this. You'll also lose a lot of your mental capabilities. You'll lose all your friends. Your family won't talk to you. You'll see things. Voices will tell you to
burn things. Yo, look at me. Look at me. You did good.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
You good.
You did,
Alex.
I'm the juror and I say everyone's guilty! Yeah!
real.
Butter.
I really liked The Prestige. Part of me wonders, is this really a movie about magic? You know, actors can't learn how to be master magicians and then perform it in front of us. I don't expect them to. That's fine.
You know, but what it,
like,
is?
I'm definitely not satisfied with, like, just Edward Norton waving at a CGI plant.
The thing is, and it bothered me too, but again, they don't explain it within the film in any way or show all the work they put into it. It's like the guys who made the Thing prequel. They put all the work into these physical things, and then at the last second, the studio's like, paint over all of it. And they did. Like the work was there, but they still did movie magic anyway.
It was good reference.
Then what's the point of it anyway? The only, I would say, what you're looking for does exist. And Fox did it for about 5 years. And that's when they had a masked magician come out for like 13 episodes a year. And it was called Unmasked Magician's Tricks. And he would just reveal a bunch of tricks. And that's the closest anyone got to what it's like to be a magician. Because if you did, you would reveal all the secrets. And so there isn't real, I don't think there's any magician out there that really wants to reveal everything, which is why they don't mind tricks from the 1800s being revealed as much.
It's funny. David Copperfield actually was an advisor on that Burt Wonderstone movie, the incredible Burt Wonderstone.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, there is a scene where his assistant, Steve Buscemi, is hanged, you know, with a noose.
Yeah.
And then they pull off they hang him. And then they pull off the mask, and it's Steve Carell, and it's all in one take.
Yeah.
And they advise them on how to do this. And like, if you watch it as just one camera move and like, you have to watch really carefully. You have to watch the hands. But like, it's pretty cool. I don't know. The movie in general.
Burt Wonderstone is basically a story about a guy who's too egotistical and a star and then has to be humbled into being a better person. The Now You See Me movies are basically Ocean's 11, but with magicians. Like, they can do anything with their magic. Like, literally anything. They can change their voice. They're that good of magicians. It's fun, and it's edited paced very well, but, like, none of them understand that all these tricks they need to learn about magic don't really help the story as much. And that's why I like something like Sleight, because the whole point of that film is a kid in a position where the only thing he has is this ability of sleight of hand and magic that he can do as a street performer. And that elevates the story more and more, because it's the key that gets him to the situations he needs to go to. It's not a lot of magic. It's a little, but it can get him out of the situation he's in. And then where they take it with the story, really, it's not, I would say, a magician's movie, but it does take what I think is interesting about street performing and what it takes to do something like that, and what you have to hustle to get that kind of life, what you're willing to sacrifice and what you're willing to not be a part of in your neighborhood to try and be this artistic integrity thing and create yourself. Someone like The Amazing Jonathan spent years doing street performing before he was a magician. And then the movie goes this different route of like, now I have this thing that is more than just how do I make money? How do I use it to protect the ones I love? How do I use it to be a better person in society? And all those things are really cool about Sleight. Right. They know how to take the magic and make it a part of the story and utilize it better than any of these other ones that are just in the world of magicians.
Well, there you go, listeners. Alex's recommendation is Sleight, 2016, directed by J.D. Dillard. So go and check that out and let us know what you think. We also have a few other recommendations from other folks on the interwebs. For instance, J.C. Smith recommended Ingmar Bergman's The Magician. So that's Swedish director Ingmar Bergman. Who directed this film in 1958.
Sounds fun.
Where an itinerant magician is confronted by a skeptical audience in this drama about the privations of being an artist.
It's a good year. Wow, that actually sounds really good.
Thanks for the recommendation.
Who is this Jason guy?
Oh, calm down. The veins popping again.
That's funny. There's another recommendation by a fellow called Jason Shawhan. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And he recommended the Lord of Illusions director's cut.
Is that the John Carpenter Lord of Illusions? I think I'm thinking of Prince of Darkness, not Lord of Illusions.
Yeah, I think
Lord of Illusions has Scott Bakula.
Lord of Illusions was directed by Clive Barker.
Oh, Hellraiser, Clive Barker. I did not know that. And that's
an American neo-noir supernatural horror film.
Neo-noir, neo-noir.
Okay. Based on his own short story.
Is that also starring Scott Bakula? Dracula's in there? No.
Oh, oh Peter, Peter, Peter.
Quantum Leap, Scott Bakula. That's a guess. But you say the word neo-noir and I'm in. Neo-noir. Neo-noir.
That's from 1995 with Scott Bakula.
I knew
good
it.
Good year.
I knew it was Scott Bakula. Scotty Bakula.
Fomka Johnson.
Ooh, that's the same year she was squeezing thighs with to what? Death with GoldenEye.
Are there any other magic movies we would like to mention before we go to our closing statements?
You know, I got to be honest. We talked about The Amazing Jonathan and that there were two documentaries vying for each other. Mm-hmm. I did watch
documentaries, one of which is very – sorry. Yeah.
No. Competing documentaries. I got to say, the one that you sent me, the YouTube one, really, really good.
In that one, it's mainly about his assistant, like his longtime friend and assistant. It's very sympathetic portrayal. And then the other one is like super skeptical. So this magician said that he was dying, only had a certain amount of time to live, was going to do one last tour. So in one documentary, it's like kind of summarizing his life. What an amazing guy. The other documentary, halfway through, the guy who's making it's like, are you really dying? Like, are you actually sick or is this just a stunt? And then he finds out that this other documentary is being made at the same time. And he's like, what?
Two other
There's
ones.
Like camera crews like bumping into each other and it's really awkward.
The one that was made on YouTube that's on YouTube for free is made by another comedian that was friends with him. And when I watched that one, understanding now that I know that guy's work and what he'd done, I was like, OK, this is the kind of thing that a respectful friend would make for another respectful friend in the business. Right. Whereas this other one, I feel like the guy walked in as a fan, but there's one last person in the YouTube one at the very end. He was like, wouldn't it just be great if he died on stage? I mean, that's how we would want to go out, right? That's how I would want to go out. And it's like this young 27, 32-year-old guy. And I'm like, he obviously doesn't know this man. He's obviously just a talking head that they're talking to. As I was watching the other one, the Hulu one, I was like, this feels like a director who thinks this is all a stunt because he's made a life out of being a prankster, The Amazing Jonathan. But I don't think that's what the documentary is about. I think the documentary is about people who, I guess the community of documentary filmmakers in general. I think the idea is like, it's not about a niche magician that everyone's like huddling to make documentaries about. It's about people just wanting to make documentaries for the sake of it. And that's why the film eventually turns on to him. And I think Jonathan liked that aspect to a certain degree, but I think he was equally kind of interested in this guy's disinterest with the humanity of who he was, particularly because there were other documentaries asking those questions. And I think at the end of the day, that guy was like, why are we making so many documentaries about stupid crap like this? It's really about us. And that's what I think is hard to see in that thing. Whereas the other one is like a legit, if you want to know anything about Jonathan and who he was at his like prime, who helped him to get there, that's it. But like if they were ever to make like a biopic of him, the blueprint is that biopic. YouTube one. Yeah, it's that. And then the other one's more about like film, how film is constructed, who's film for, what are documentaries about? It isn't really about him. He's just the subject needed to explore why we tell stories this way. Whereas the other one's like, oh, well, I'm going to talk to you about Amazing Jonathan.
Our final recommendation was from a fellow called 1+1.
Yeah.
And he actually recommended a documentary. So his one is called Deceptive Practice, The Mysteries and Mentors of Ricky Jay.
That's the guy who did the work on The Illusionist.
And I didn't know about that. That's funny because he's actually on stage in The Prestige. He's the magician that the two fellows are working for, Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale.
So he's the winner.
They're his assistants at the beginning. And he was, he's very well respected. He did pass away recently, but he was very well respected as a magician and as an actor. He was in like Paul Thomas Anderson movies and things.
Oh, wow.
But he's also very good at sleight of hand. He was a master of card tricks and this and that. You can see him on late night shows and all kinds of stuff.
May he rest in magical paradise.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's dead.
Magic's not real. It's all illusions.
Wow.
How dare you?
Spit on his grave.
He's in the ground. He's in the ground.
Yeah. Why don't you spit on his grave too while you're at it?
You tell me where it is, I'll spit on it.
Yeah. I figured you would. All right. You know what? Closing statements.
I want to go to a magical place.
You each are going to get 1 minute this time. I'm feeling generous. Oh, that is a lot. Fine. You wanted 30 seconds?
Dang it.
You want me to do 30 seconds? I'll do 30 seconds.
Aw.
You get 30 seconds.
I'm sorry, Theo.
Theo, your final statements start right now. 30 seconds.
I thought that was a punishment for Alex. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Okay. Well, okay, the illusionist, you know, halfway through it, you'll just start nodding off because it's a sleeper. It's boring.
Talk about how the prestige is doing.
Hey,
it's got too much style, very little substance, way too much Edward Norton. That's my final word. He should have been, they should have got someone cool in there, someone mysterious. I don't know. I'm thinking a European actor, someone with presence who doesn't have to just, can just be on stage, be very cool. And anyway, Mads Mikkelsen, for instance, can you imagine that movie?
Boom.
And okay. Done. That's all I'm going
to. All right, fine.
Can I have 30 seconds to talk about the other
one? I got this. All right, I'm ready. All right? Get me going. I'm gonna nail this. Prestige is going down. You right? Ready?
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, the Prestige. All right, this, first of all, so what? It's got great performances by great artists that would go on to do better things.
Okay.
So what if it's got a focused, complete story that attacks different themes from both character analysis and also magic and also filmmaking? And so what if it has a captivating edit that makes sure that all of its composition is done in a way that it's masterfully edited in the end, and there are no tricks and flashiness to it? It's just all story. So what if this movie is incredibly entertaining by the many twists that are involved in it? And so what if Robbie and I are just enamored by its ability to captivate you with an ending that is both bitter and sweet? All right. So what if the movie is better than The Illusionist?
And we're
Damn
done.
It.
And we're done.
Ah.
Okay. I feel like we
suck today. I'm not good.
I think it's the movie. I think you're projecting. Alex, you're projecting.
That was the Illusionist round. Now we can talk about the Prestige.
Yes, you get another 30 seconds.
What?
Fine.
What?
You get rebuttal.
What? Fine.
Okay. Theo, 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, right away. Oh, God. Okay. We have a very fascinating movie, a character study, a period movie that feels immediate, like you're living it. Love it. Love that part of it. We got great performances. Hugh Jackman is a natural as the masterful showman, which he is. You know, he can sing, he can dance. Hugh Jackman. Christian Bale, very understated. A lot of fun and talking, and probably the closest to his own natural accent that you'll ever hear. And you know who else is great?
And you're done. You got cut off. No one will know.
My guess is Rebecca Hall.
Nope.
I thought I was supposed to not know. Whatever. Whatever.
I actually blacked out.
Whatever.
Michael Caine. Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
It was a ruby the size of Michael Caine. You know what? 3, 2, 1, final statement. You get 30 seconds. Go.
First of all, The Illusionist has a beautiful cinematography. And if you were to take the time to just kind of like look at it without putting it on any sort of sound volume, it would look really good. It's a good movie to put on mute. It looks very beautiful. They took a lot of time and effort to understand tricks that could have been done at the time that they could present here. Do they present them as truth in this film? No, but they do present them as what it could have been like at the time. I do think that Rufus Sewell's really good. I think he commands the last 10 minutes of the movie with his weird sort of like plea of life at the ending. Mm-hmm. And I think the editing sucks.
Ooh.
I'm going to be honest.
That's your final statement?
I did it wrong again.
Your final statement is that the editing.
Let me try.
No, you don't get any more. No, you don't get any more, Alex.
Yeah.
No matter how hard The Illusionist tries, it will never be as good as the first. God dang it.
Okay. Well, I feel like we have a winner chicken dinner. Mapo, what do you think?
I'm sorry.
How did you roll all the way over there? I sent you next to me.
I was trying to get
come here.
I really wasn't.
Speak into the microphone.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys, I'm thankful that you took me aside and told me these wonderful things about these films, and I have not seen them.
Yes, so but which one do you
want? Based on what we did.
Oh, based off of your debate?
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't much of a debate.
Well, clearly, Theo made a very strong argument for why The Prestige is a very good film. And Alex made a pretty bad argument in why The Illusionist is a pretty good film. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think he made just as strong of an argument for why The Prestige is good. So the winner is all of us, the friends we've met along the way.
Okay, do you want me to set you something?
No, I gotta go get the prestige and put it on. It took forever for us to just say, let's watch the right movie. You guys stink.
Oh, he's rolling away now. I think he figured out that a better way to...
You guys are trying all the time to give me the same...
Bye, Mappo. Thank you. I think Alex willingly lost today.
I didn't willingly lost. It's just I thoroughly thought...
You willingly lost.
Oh, I mean, like, sometimes a guy defends a killer and understands that they're guilty halfway through and, you know, decides not to be their lawyer anymore.
That's not happened to me.
It because you're not a lawyer who defends...
A DeLawyer?
You're not a DeLawyer or DeLorean or DeLora. You are none of those.
I guess you are a lawyer. A fake lawyer.
I am your fake lawyer.
No, I said you're a fake lawyer.
No, I am your fake
lawyer. No, you're not.
Oh, I lost all my other clients.
Were they ever real?
No. You are my realest client that I have. You're the realest.
Okay.
Yeah, man, you're for real.
Well, this was a
fan. You're the illusionist.
Yep.
Oh, you're a delusionist. Yeah, I like that.
Go watch The Prestige.
Yeah, you like that one?